For the next 8 weeks, we're going to be working through the book of Ephesians. And as Ange has already outlined and shared, if you can be part of a home group, a Bible study group that will be set up especially to look at Ephesians or do it personally, this would be a great blessing to you. I don't know if you noted that when Marg read this first chapter, Paul commenced writing in his characteristic way, stating his credentials. I'm an apostle, writing to the saints in Ephesus, the people who were receiving the message, and praying that traditional blessing, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This wasn't a strange church for Paul. It was a church that he knew well. He hadn't founded the church, but he had visited the church on his second missionary journey, and then he'd gone back and he'd ministered there for 3 years, which is the longest time that we know that he stayed in one location and stayed in one congregation, ministering for 3 years. So he probably knew this church better than he knew any other. We read in Acts 20 that after his third missionary journey, he was on his way to Jerusalem, had to go near Ephesus. Ephesus was inland, not too far inland, but he called for the elders of the church and called them to meet him on the beach as he'd alighted from the ship. And with those elders, he exhorted them, and he knelt down on the sand with them, and they prayed this prayer. He prayed this prayer: I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. He prayed that God would give them an inheritance. And then it was only 3 or 4 years later that he was in prison in Rome, and he wrote this letter to this group of believers. And the first thing that he wrote to them was that he wanted them to know that they had the inheritance. What he'd prayed for, he wanted them to know that they got it, that they had it. And what he said to them in this first part of Ephesians is, I want you to understand that you have got your inheritance. You're not waiting for it to happen. You've got it. And you don't just have a part of it. You've got it all. You've got the whole inheritance that God has for you. There's nothing you don't have. And you have all that you will ever need. You have it now, and you always will. So my brief today, I've been told to limit my message to one sentence. Would you believe that? I've been told to limit my message to one sentence. It's one long sentence. In fact, it starts in verse 3 and it finishes in verse 14. When Paul was writing this particular letter, he didn't take a break. When he wrote this part of it, he just was so overwhelmed by what he was writing about, the inheritance that God has given to us, that he just went on and on and on and on, overflowing. Didn't stop for breath. Has to be the most compact sentence written in the Bible, I think. So much is packed in. So many important truths are revealed. It's impossible for me, anyway, to do justice to it. This one long sentence that stretches from verse 3 and finishes in verse 14. But let's have a go. It starts in verse 3 with these words: Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, that's a very all-encompassing statement. God has put in place for us every spiritual blessing, and he has placed there for us everything that we need and everything that we ever will need. It's all there in place. Our inheritance has been given to us. A few years ago, Prince Charles and Camilla visited Tanzania, and they met with the group of Maasai tribesmen and chiefs. And the Maasai have this particular belief. They believe that they own all the cattle in the whole world. Every cow, every calf, every bull, every cow. And it's their right to claim every cow, every bull, every calf as Maasai cows, Maasai bulls. And they had Charles there, or Charles was visiting them, and Charles is the Prince of Wales. He's the Duke of Rothesay. He's a great master of the Order of the Bath. He's a future King of England, but they thought he had one title lacking. And so they said, we want to invest you with a new title. We're now going to call you, I can't even pronounce it, Aloysheru in Gishu. Okay? Charles Aloysheru in Gishu, which means he whom the cows love so much, they call for him when they're in times of distress. Prince Charles, that's you. That's you now. And you have the right to any cow. You have the right to claim anyone's cows. And when they asked him how many cows he had, he said, I've got a herd of about 600 in England. I said, what, 600? We've got thousands of cows. You need more cows than that if you're going to be Aloysheru in Gishu. And you have the right to claim anyone's cow, anyone's bull, because you have that title. You are the greatest, cowboy in the world. You've got to have more than that. You've got to claim more than what you've got, is basically what they said to him. And what God is telling us here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 is that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Could I just make a couple of comments before we go on and see what those blessings are? And these are important to just understand here what we're talking about. The meaning of in the heavenly realms. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Now, if you're going to read through the book of Ephesians, you'll see that six times in this book, through this term is used, in the heavenly realms. Now, it's not heaven. It's not talking about what's prepared for us in heaven in the future, although that's an eternal blessing. But it means the spiritual realm or the spiritual dimension. And even the evil spirits at this current time are operating in the spiritual realm. But we see that in Ephesians 6. But we're told also that Christ has been given supreme rulership in the heavenly realm, in the spiritual dimension, which is around us, the sphere from which God's blessings are dispersed. Christ reigns and Christ rules and operates there for our blessing and for our benefit. The second thing that's important to just put in place before we go any further is that the meaning when it says that we have been blessed, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. When Paul was writing, he was writing in Greek, of course, and they had a number of different ways of expressing something that's already happened. And he used the tense that means God has put it there, and it stays there, and it's there for good. So when we come to talk about the spiritual blessings that have been given to us, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing is already there in place. And we don't have to say, oh, I hope one day that, you know, I might be able to claim this or that or that might turn out okay. I hope I'm going to be blessed. Maybe. It doesn't enter into it in this scripture. He has blessed us. Has. It's put in place, and it's put in place for us. So let's just go through, we can't spend a lot of time on these blessings, because there's seven of them listed here, and they are listed as our spiritual inheritance. And each blessing, as we read through it, is connected with something else that helps us to understand it, helps to define it, helps us to appreciate it. It's paired with another blessing, or paired with another characteristic that again helps us to appreciate what we have. First of all, in verse 4, it says, we have been chosen. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. The first blessing listed is that we are chosen people. a chosen people. We have been chosen for a purpose. I don't know if you know or not, but the Bible lists three things that happened before creation. Three things. One is that Christ has eternal communion with his Father. He pre-existed. Secondly, God foreordained the sacrifice of Jesus from before the foundation of the world. He was appointed to be the sacrifice for sin. And now it says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before the creation of the world, we were chosen, and we were chosen to be holy and blameless. Now, that's saying that we were chosen to be like our Father who is holy, like our Father who is blameless, to reflect his very likeness. And we have been given that gift, the gift of being a chosen person. We've been given that. That's there for us, and that's who we are. The second blessing that we see here is that we have been predestined to be adopted as sons. Verse 5, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Now, that's basically saying that we have been predestined to express his very nature, to be a son, to be a continuing expression of what our Father is like, to express his very nature as a child reflects its parent. Romans 8:29 tells us that predestination is based on the fact that God knows beforehand who we're going to be. Those whom he foreknew, he predestined. And it's not about one group of people predestined to be saved and another being predestined to be lost. That's been a great debate that occurred in the church centuries ago. But it is saying that we have been predestined to be like our Father. We've been predestined to sonship. And that doesn't mean just men. That means that the ladies and the men are all included. We're all included together as inheritors of the very nature of God our Father. And that's our gift. We've been predestined to be like that, sons and daughters and inheritors. I'm a fifth generation Australian, and my Australian ancestors came from Ireland, Scotland and England. A bit of a mixture. Further back, my DNA tells me, I did a DNA test, my DNA tells me that I have descended from Vikings, Norwegians, Danes, that I'm German, French, Baltic, a touch of Italian, and a touch of Jewishness. Now, I was talking to one of the members in our church here a while back about this, and he said, you're a bit of a bitzer, aren't you? I am. Look, and you are too. Who's on the DNA test? Anyone? Well, you've got to do it. Interesting. Don't be afraid. You are who you are. And who our ancestors are predestines us to be who we are. All of that mixture that I am is put together, and that is predestining me. That's making me who I am and enabling me to be who I am, because I can't get away from it. I carry the DNA of all those groups of people, and I express that, and that is my nature. And when Paul talks here about God predestining us to be sons and daughters, it is in verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace. You know, it's a sort of a grace expression which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The third thing he talks about is that in him we have redemption through his blood. One of those great words that define our relationship with God. We have been redeemed. And there is only one way whereby we are redeemed. To be redeemed means that we have been bought. There's only one price that can be paid. We have been redeemed through his blood. The blood of the cross is what it cost to redeem me. But the word of God here says, that's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. And that's been put in place. It's happened. It's there. And even before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the Lamb slain. We have been redeemed. It's that inherited gift. And alongside that is the forgiveness of sins, the next blessing that we receive as our inheritance. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. The forgiveness of sin is connected to grace. It's a gracious gift from our Father that we can receive forgiveness. And then grace is another gift that we receive. And in the context of this chapter in verse 8, it says that he lavished on us grace with all wisdom and understanding. Grace is connected to wisdom and understanding because it's the capacity to know what to do it, how to act, how not to act, all we're meant to be able to do and be is done in the grace that God gives us and that he has bequeathed to us as part of our inheritance. If you're up to point six, that's what we're up to. Point six is that part of our inheritance is that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. Now, to be in the know about something is a privileged position, isn't it? Whether it's, in your family, in families, I believe we need to be as open as possible, and everyone knows the secrets of the family. But outsiders don't necessarily know that, and we don't necessarily want to tell them either, do we? But we know, it's a privilege of belonging to have an insight and to have a knowledge about something in a particular group, to know something, and you may know it and you may keep it within the group, but the fact that you know it is a blessing to you. We read in verse 9 that he has made known to us the mystery of his will. God has said, I'm going to create my people to live on earth and to live in my purpose. And so I'm not going to leave them in the dark about what I'm going to do. They're going to know. They're going to know what's going to happen. And it gives him great pleasure. It says he wants us to know the mystery of his will according to his pleasure. You know, God delights in this. Something that no one previously knew, but now we do. And it's defined as a mystery in verse 10. And the mystery is to bring all things, this is God's mystery that is, let us know, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. So here we are sitting in church on a Sunday morning and the world's going on out there. We have an insight into what's ultimately going to happen. Everything is going to have to be brought together somehow with Jesus Christ as the head. We're not the tail. We're worshipping the head. And this is going to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment. I wish Paul had been a bit more specific about that, but to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment. We have the blessing of knowing God's plan, basically what he's saying. And there's lots of more details that are in other parts of Scripture. But this is part of our inheritance, to know, to receive that knowledge and to receive that insight. And the final blessing that we see here as part of our inheritance is that the inheritance is guaranteed. The inheritance is guaranteed. How do I know, apart from I'm reading it here in the Word of God, how do I know that I'm going to receive, that I'm actually have received it? Because the Holy Spirit has been given to indwell us, and the Holy Spirit has been given to be the witness to our spirit, one that we belong to the Lord as his child. As Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So there is a witness from the Holy Spirit to my spirit that I belong to him. And then it says, now if we are children, then what are we? Heirs. If we're children, we're heirs. And back in Ephesians verses 13 and 14, the promised Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Now, we've only looked at seven aspects of the inheritance that is ours. That's nowhere near the whole lot. Significant things, of course, but nowhere near the whole lot. But the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is to bear witness to us and say, you are his, you belong, you are gifted, you are the recipient, you're the beneficiary of all that God the Father has put in place. Now, just a brief skip through that first part of Ephesians, but we have been reading one of the most significant parts of the last will and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, made out in our name, and it described, I don't know if you picked up the words, this passage is so full, described as being lovingly bestowed, lavish, given by his pleasure, freely given. And each blessing is linked to the other in such an amazing way that it just overflows to us. This is our inheritance. This is our blessing. 3 weeks ago, I was visiting one of our sons, and Marg was with me on the Mornington Peninsula, and I was outside doing something on the house. And my little four-year-old grandson came running out. Granddad, the money's in the bank. Good. What are you talking about? Grandma told me to tell you, Granddad, the money's in the bank. And then it dawned on me. My wife has been waiting for her inheritance, and finally, the money is in the bank. Finally, it's come. Now, she's known that this was coming. We knew when her mother died, of course, that in the course of time she would receive her inheritance. She's known all her life that she would receive her inheritance. And on this Saturday morning, the monies in the bank meant that all that had been willed to her by a loving mother was hers. All that had been willed to her by her loving mother was now hers. And what this part of Ephesians tells us is that all that has been willed to us by a loving father is ours. What else can we do? But in the words of Ephesians 1:3, say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a beautiful song about a beautiful name.